Okay, so let's see if we can understand the arguments and the pirchas. The arguments and the counter-arguments. Okay, so I mean, in this type of a thing, no go, Ken?
Right.
Yeah, so like the Ramban says in his Akdama to the Milchamos Hashem, that he says when yeah, you ever see, it's a very interesting Hakdama. You get a chance, take a look at the Hakdama of the Baal HaMaor and the Hakdama to the of the Ramban. So I mean, I haven't seen it in a long time, but from my the best of my recollection is that the Baal HaMaor, was a young Eloi, more than an Eloi. Yeah, he was a young gone. So he wrote a critique of the Rif. The Rif was the Gadol, the Gadol Ador. He was much, much older. He lived to, what, like 80, 90, something like that. And anyway, so, and I guess his halachos were very, had a certain aura. And the Baal HaMaor, you know, came and chipped away at it and made him seem like he made mistakes in certain places. And he says, it's funny, he quotes in the Baal HaMaor, he quotes Aristotle. Because Aristotle said about Socrates and Plato, about Plato, he said, dear is Plato, but dearer is the truth. So he said, look, I love, we love the riff, but we love truth more. So we can't say, because we love the riff, we can't argue with him. Truth is the, we only love the riff because of the truth that he has. So anyway, so the Ramban, explains that in his, he's defending the riff, but, and he says, look, when I bring an argument, the Baal HaMaor brings an argument against the riff, and I bring an argument against the Baal HaMaor, he says, don't think I'm saying that he's definitely wrong. Don't think I'm saying the Baal HaMaor is definitely wrong. Don't think I'm not saying that I've proved he's wrong. And the Baal HaMaor is never saying that he proved the riff is wrong. He says, because it's not a science like mathematics where we can generate an absolute proof. In the study of halacha, it's the what wins the argument is not... you'll never come to an absolute proof unless the guy just made a mistake at Tiyufta. But it's a matter of shikul hadas. It's a matter of lining up the sugyas and seeing whose approach follows through with a greater appeal to the mind. So even though I talk strongly against the Baal HaMaor and I sound like I'm negating him 100%, I'm not. You can't do that. It's not possible. The science doesn't lend itself to that type of a proof. So that's always true. It's almost always true. But in these particular cases, it really is brought out. And we have to recognize it very clearly, because there's very little other than an appeal to some sort of sense that each one's argument is making. I mean, no one here is claiming that. I mean, the pirchas are too easy, are too obvious to say that they thought they had a proof. So if you approach it to try to see, well, what was his proof, then it's impossible. We have to just approach it and say what shikul hadas was it appealing to, and we can't know why each one's and in the realm of shikul hadas, this is also something that the Ramban explains. There are things that you don't know what makes the approach more appealable to each chacham. There could be other ways that he learned other sugyas that generated a certain trend in a certain conviction in his thinking about how things should be approached. And it's not always just in the subject matter that the shikl hadas is that the calculation of the shikl hadas is taking place. There are general ideas of halacha that other sugyas that can contribute to each person's overall sense of the emes. And shikl hadas is an important expression because it means weighing. It means to say it's not a process of absolute determination. It's a process of weighing. There are considerations on either side, and every chacham knows that each way has difficulties, each way has merits, and it's a matter of their deep intuition which one appears to be on the whole the correct approach. And that's in general. I mean, this is something we've said many times. You know, when Tosos asks questions on Rashi, he's not saying that Rashi was wrong, but he's saying, it's not that he didn't understand what Rashi was saying. Right? If we can explain Rashi, Tosos can explain Rashi. But it means to say he's showing you that if you will take Rashi's approach, you will have to make certain ukimtas and other sugyas. You'll have difficulties with other sugyas, and on the whole, it's smoother to go this way. Because I'll show you the problems. He's just showing you the problems that you'll encounter if you go with Rashi's approach. Rashi, of course, had answers for those problems. So it comes out to be a question of which is the ikar and which is the tuffel. Everyone's approach is going to have certain difficulties. Question is, what do you consider to be the main entity, the main grain of truth, and which are the problems that have to be worked out? You always have those combinations. You always have the combination of the idea, what's the true thing here, and what are the problems that have to be worked out. Tosis' job is to show you, if you're going to go like Rashi, you'll have big problems to work out. Now, Rashi might say those problems he works out in a better way that Tosis doesn't think of, whatever it is. Or you can say, look, that's the, what can I do? This idea is so clear and true to me, I have no choice but to take it with the problems. Anyhow, so let's see if we can crack some of these nuts over here. So what's the first one? Who's the first one up? Rabbi Yossi Aglili? This is really hard. No? All right, let's see. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili said, Heichan matzinu osur lezeh umotu lezeh. That's a really tough kind of an argument. I mean, just as an argument, it's a tough argument to make. Because all he's saying is, where have you seen such a thing? Here. I see it right here. What do you mean? Lo shamati ein oraya. I mean, what do you say? Because I haven't seen something, therefore it doesn't exist. It's difficult. What does he mean? Where have you seen such a thing? Where have you seen such a thing? Plus, how do we say he's learning? In the end, he's learning Almanas. How is he learning in the end? Almanas?
How does it matter?
That's none of your business right now. Why is he say he's learning Almanas? He's learning Chutz?
Yeah.
He's learning Chutz. Yeah, so take a look at Tosafot of you on the next daf. Now I'll tell you right. You see the second question, Vim Tomar? A few lines up from the bottom, Vim Tomar of the Tosas Rava. Vim Tomar cave into Rabbi Eliezer Mikroyolef Hanu Zikena Mama Shivan al Devarov. Digzeras Akosavu. Now is if you're gonna learn chutz, so chutz you're learning from a pasuk. So what do you mean? Where do you see where do you see anything if it's not from a pasuk? So he says, Yesh lam mishum di yesh le hoshiv al devarav mistaver le'uk mikro tfei ki didarshi rabbanan. In other words, even how you darshan a pasuk, you have to come to it with a certain sensibility. And they're trying to say, you shouldn't have darshan the pasuk that way because of these arguments. Tough stuff, huh? Not for us mere mortals here. I mean, it's like they're at the point, it's almost like you're getting an insight into their thinking of how are they going to darshan the pasuk. It's very difficult because at the same time that we get the knowledge of what the Torah holds from the pasuk, they're saying you can also stand ahead of it with a certain knowledge of what the Torah could be saying. tough stuff. Okay, anyway. So, but that's only if you're learning chutz, Rafi. That's what the Marsha mentions. I think the Marsha, one of them, that Tosis' question is only for the chutz guys, because the Almanas was just a svara to begin with. Right? Okay. So let's see if we can understand this. So he starts out saying, where have you ever seen something that's usher to one person and mutter to another person? What's usher should be usher to everybody, and what's mutter should be mutter to everybody. So right away they say, what are you talking about? What about Truma and Kachim? It's usher to a Yisrael and mutter to a Kohen. Okay. Yeah. So what does that mean? Let's just define that one quickly, yeah. Right. So these aren't legitimate havaminas and maskanas over here. I mean, nobody thought that Rabbi Yossi Aglila was bringing a raya from Kachim and Truma. Right? It's just focusing our attention on the right issue here. Okay? But it's instructive to differentiate, if we can, the nature of Osir Lezeh and Mutl Lezeh of each step, what's the nature of the Osir Lezeh and Mutl Lezeh that is not part of Rabbi Yossi Aglili's question. It just helps us to see what is, like a negative knowledge. We can get some negative knowledge of the situation here, right? So what's the first one? And this is good just to sharpen up a little practice and quick definitions here. So let's get a good quick definition here. So Truma and Kadshim, what are they? What's the nature of their Osir Lezeh and Mutl Lezeh? So let me ask you just in general. In other words, what type of a question does he sound like he's asking? That it should be uniform. There should be some uniformity, right? Now, where do you see a non-uniform thing, like Isser and Hatter? Okay? So, I mean, that sounds like, it's a good guess, that that's the nature of his question. But we got to get down to where does he demand the uniformity? So the Gemara is saying, well, he can't mean this type of a uniformity, right? What's the uniformity? What's the inequality by Truma and Kachim? That it only applies to certain people. The nature of the Isser is, it's an Isser Zar. Okay? It's an Isser Zar. But what? It's an Isser Zar. That can't be what he means. But what about the shame of the Isser? In other words, the shame of the thing is objective. That which is Kachim, everyone agrees is Kachim. That which is Truma, everyone agrees is Truma. There's no idea of any type of relativity over here. It's not a Kohen doesn't think it's Truma. It's not that it's not the shame Kachim and Truma for a Kohen, and it is the shame Kachim and Truma for Yisrael, right? There's absolute uniformity in the Chefza. It's Kachim to everybody and it's Truma to everybody, but only a segment of the population is given a mitzvah, an Isser Kachim or an Isser Truma. Okay? So that type of a thing is not surprising. That's not the type of problem that Rabbi Eliezer is talking about, where we all agree on the Cheftza, but the consequences of that Cheftza are different to you and to me. That's not a problem. That we see a lot. Okay. So he says, no, of course I don't mean that. I'm talking about, in a woman. I'm talking about a woman who's usher to you and mutter to me. So the Gemara says, okay, how about Arayos? Okay, so what is Arayos? It's different than Kachim, right? How is it different than Kachim? In this one, it's almost the reverse of Kachim, right? Go ahead, you take the exercise. Exactly. In other words, by Arayos, the shame itself is a relative, but the nature of the Isser is absolute. Right?
It's us or to marry your sister.
It's always us or to marry your sister, but sister itself, the shame sister, depends on the person that you're talking about. So you'll be, the woman could be us or because she's your sister and not my sister. So he says, that also I don't have it. Of course, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that kind of an inequality. It's the opposite because the shame is we disagree on the shame. That was the shame of kachim. Everyone agrees on the shame kachim, but the shame achoso is by definition relative. There's no objective achoso, but whoever has the shame achoso, we all agree there's an isser on that shame. Okay. Now, so he says, no, of course that's not what I'm talking about either. What I'm talking about is. What am I talking about? Be'ishus kamrinan. Yeah, be'ishus kamrinan. What's be'ishus kamrinan? Rashi, ne'esra al yedei kedushin. Yeah, this is frustrating though, because didn't we say earlier that you could marry her chutz miploni? I mean, is that also part of his question? I mean, that can't be part of his question. I mean, it is confusing because Rabbi Akiva himself, it's not clear. I mean, there was machlokas earlier. If the Rabbanan have to hold, chutz miploni is no good. As a matter of fact, some Rishonim learned that Rabbi Yochanan holds, it is good. So then it's difficult. If you're going to tell me Rabbi Akiva himself would hold, you can marry a woman, chutz miploni. So what's his big question over here? So we must say that he's only asking a question on what? It is on Gerushin, but Rashi says clearly it's Nesra Yedei Kiddushin. All right, we'll hold that off for a second. And then they said to him, have you heard about a married woman? She's mutter to her husband, and us is everybody else. Hainu pircha. Now, obviously, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili knows that a married woman is mutter to her husband, and us to everybody else. So it's not. So what was his question? All right. So let's just try to guess this out a little bit. So in other words, I'll propose to you like this: that what does it mean? Ne'esra ayyedei kiddushin. It means to say that any woman who had an isser ayyedei kiddushin, it means to say that any woman who had an isser ayyedei kiddushin. So let's go back in time to the original kiddushin. I don't care who it asered. We can say it asered everybody just for simplicity. But the original kiddushin had a chalal shame of iser, right? Yeah, it had a chalal shame of iser. And now what? Now you're going to be megarish or chutz miploni. So it'll come out that what? That the original entity of kiddushin is going to the original entity of kiddushin that applied to everyone, right? In other words, she was a mikudeshes vis-a-vis everyone. Now it's going to come out that very original kiddushin itself is a relative. It's going to come out now that an event of kiddushin occurred, which was vis-a-vis everybody, She was a Mekudeshes Legabe Kuli Alma. And now you're going to say that a Maisa that applied uniformly is going to result in a non-uniform Isser. That doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense to say that the original Maisa Kedushin had a uniformity, or whoever it included. And now we're going to say that the creation of the Chalos was a uniform creation and it results in a relative Shemesser. That just doesn't make sense. I understand things that are objective and only some people are Osir too. I understand things that intrinsically are relative shame. But to say that it's created in an absolute sense and then it converts into some relative kind of an idea, that doesn't make sense. That's neither here nor there. Yeah. Oh, because it converts, because when he divorces her chutz miploni, so now that original kedushin is going to be extant only vis-a-vis the chutz guy. But that original thing was a uniform maisa. It had the character of a uniform maisa. And now you're telling me it's only going to result then now, it's going to turn into a relative existence of a uniform chefza. There was an objectivity to the maisa. It had an objective identity. And now you're telling me the objective chefza that was created exists in a relative way. It's like saying you're going to turn the kudshim into a relative kind of an idea. What kind of an idea is that?
What are you explaining?
The original Ishus. See, what I'm trying to say is he's questioning from the creation of the shame Ishus. He's not saying that Ishus has to necessarily be on everybody, because that would seem to run afoul of the possibilities on Pei-Bez on the base, that you could say Arei Mekudesh Shli Chutz Miploni. Certainly if Rabbi Eliezer himself, well, whatever. Certainly if the Rabbanon hold that way, which is possible. Gemara doesn't think that's a crazy possibility. As a matter of fact, I said that the Ravid certainly holds that the Rabbi Yochanan holds that way. From the Gemara in Kedushin, that you can be married a Filu Mea Tovsimba. So then he can't mean that the Kedushin itself can't create an Isser Lezeh and a Mut Lezeh. But he's saying, but whatever Isser the Kedushin created, that created an objective kind of a shame.
Even if you have a chutz?
Except to these people who were under this, to the people who were under this identity, it was a uniform identity to all of these people. And now it's going to come out that to the very people that it was created towards, it turns into that for some of them it exists and for some of them it doesn't. Becomes like a relative kind of a thing when it converts its nature from relative to from absolute to relative. In the very thing, some will say it's there and some will say it's not there. It's an argument, yeah. So in other words, this Heichan Matzinu is you don't see institutions of Isser and Heter switching like that. That's the way I'm trying to interpret it. Because his question is not from the Gerushin. That's what Rashi explained. His question is that you're going to turn the Kedushin into this kind of a thing. The Gerushin will now make the Kedushin relative to the very group, that it was created with.
You mean the Ashes Ish?
The Ashes Ish, right.
That's the common ground between the Kedushin.
Right. No, as the original Shame Ashes Ish incorporated all these people. Now you're going to say, some people will say that shame still exists, and some people of that very same group will say it doesn't. So then it becomes that original shame, which had a definition towards this group of people, that was its shame, now comes converted into a relative kind of a thing. Where do you see an Isser is going to turn into, is going to start out like one type of an identity and convert into another?
Like
So his answer is, that's the very nature of Ishus, that it's relative. It's an interesting kind of an argument. In other words, he is saying within the mechanics of Ishus, there's a switch. But his argument back is the whole institution is intrinsically a relative kind of an institution. Because the whole of Isser, the whole institution is founded on the idea that a woman can have a shame to one person and not to another. Because the very nature of creating Ishus is, to me she's mutter and to you she's aser. So you can't say that there's an intrinsic fundamental change that happens when you do a chutz, because the nature of the whole institution is such. But he's arguing from the mechanics. As he's saying, that seems to be the question over here. In terms of the mechanics, it seems like there's a switch. That in terms of the original group, it had a certain character. The group of the Isser had a character towards it. Now that group is being altered. The nature of that shame is now being altered in its application to the very group. But he's saying, go up one level. Forget about the mechanics. The institution is not an absolute institution, so you can't say there can't be any. You can't say there's a pure. You can't say there's a problem in the mechanics having a relative kind of a expression when the very nature of the whole thing is relative. Mutter lezev, aser lezev. Now, his question is in the Isser itself. That was his question. Within the Isser that it created, it's going to turn out that it changed the character of it. And his argument is, don't look at the Isser per se. You're focusing too much on that group of Isser. You've got to look at the whole institution. The whole institution allows an inequality. That is what it's founded upon. I can't explain it any better.
And
you also,
you can't do that.
Right, who's Rabbi Yosef's question is he saying, it turns out that the original event, everybody recognized. And now they all said, yes, of course she got married. And vis-a-vis me, she was married. Now that very same event is going to be viewed relatively. So to me, I'll say, yeah, that marriage is still in existence, and to you, it won't be. But where do you see in halacha that an objective kind of an event like that can get turned into something that exists for some and not for others? I know there's an idea of an iser to some. I know there's an idea of when the Chal Hashem is objective, like Kachim. It doesn't have to be us to everybody. And I know there's an idea of an objective iser, but the shame could be relative. But that's always the way it is. But here it's going to sort of flip-flop a little bit. Here it turns into something along the way. So the argument back to him is, who says that there's a limitation on that when the very institution allows for a relative type of an iser? She can't tell me the mechanics of relativity of iser are completely abhorrent to the institution of Kedusha when the whole institution is an institution of a relative iser. Don't make sense. It would be like switching somewhere along the line what a sister is. It would be like two brothers, and one of them can somehow say, she's not my sister anymore. How'd that happen? Yesterday she was both of your sisters, and today we're going to turn her into one of your sisters? How's that possible? Wasn't there a relative, I understand it's a relative concept, but wasn't there a way we define that? Wasn't there some event that defined that? It was the event of coming from the same womb. Now, how do we change those events back in history and say, no, for you it was, and for you. So to hear the Kedushin was something that set up this system. That was an event. Now you're going to go back in time and say it happened. It's still in existence for one. That event still has a reality for you, and it doesn't have reality. That's like a switch of how we're defining things in the middle.
He's not looking at the Kedushin as similar.
Okay, that's my best attempt. Okay, try next one.
we didn't explain what the chutz and alnas is between
the two. We know that already. It can't be chutz because then she would, you wouldn't have, the relativity wouldn't exist. So it must be almanas. They just want to know who he holds like. They just want to know which machlokas he's learning. Right? He can't be learning Rabbi Eliezer as a din of chutz, because then once she marries Ploni, the Acher, she will be divorced according to everybody.
Because
of the price, you're
saying?
No, am I wrong? That's not this one? Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. I have it the opposite way, I'm sorry. It must be, they're saying, I'm sorry, that's a bad mistake. In other words, we're looking for a case where she is relatively married to one and not to the other. That is chutz, right? That is what chutz is. Almanas is not, because almanas, she's really mutzed everybody.
Why they tie it to mutzedness?
Okay, so that's an old question. That's the old question of what is the case of almanas? So this is an old question. So the ones who learn almanas means almanas shalotinasi, that's their raya. That all he said to her was, don't marry Ploni. Almanas, you don't marry Ploni. So she really is mutter biznus, right? But to the ones who said that even if it was almanas shalotinasi velotivali, then they're learning that... that it's considered mutter biznus because in terms of the get, it's complete. It really could have said mutter and znus and nesuin, it doesn't matter. But it means to say because the get is complete. Since the get is complete, her definition is mutter to everybody biznus. It's just if she has znus with this one guy, it'll be okay the get. But that doesn't mean that from the framework of the get was absolute. The get was unconditional. I mean, I shouldn't say unconditional. The get was the heter of the get was complete. It was just a condition. So you don't call that almanas. So you don't call that mut. You don't call that usser biznus. But this is that. That's the question. If you're going to learn almanas means simply almanas shelo tinasi, then this gemara works out very, very smoothly, right? Because then there literally was never an Isser of Znus. So the reality of Eish as Eish doesn't exist. Because Znus is not mutter to an Eish as Eish. So there is no remnant of the reality of Eish as Eish. It's just the mice and the suin that will uproot the get.
You might be answering this question now also, but how come you couldn't learn that
Oh yeah, because in terms of the get, shouldn't leave over a relative Isser Eishes Ish.
Right.
So that's the problem.
Her Isser to get married to this guy is not the Isser Eishes Ish.
Right, because once you see Znus as mutter, it's not an Isser Eishes Ish.
Right.
There's no remnant of the Isser that she was under from the Baal. Okay. All right. So it must be chutz. Fine. Now, what about Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva is also hard. Rabbi Akiva is harder in a certain sense. Right? Because his argument is what? She'll go and get married to Ploni, to whoever she's allowed to get married to. What does he call him? To Echad Min Ashok. She'll go and she'll marry Echad Min Ashok. And she'll have children. And then she'll be divorced or widowed. And then she'll go and marry Ploni. And now it'll turn out the children are Mamzerim. And Rashi explains earlier, and the first time around, says that can't be Croesus. Lo Amar Torah Croesus Amevi Es Yisrael Lidei Psol. That can't be Croesus because it's going to bring the Yisrael the Psol. Which Yisrael is going to bring the Psol? The Banim HaMitzrayim. So the Gemara says, well, what about any Tanai? Then you shouldn't allow any condition. Because any condition can have this same story. He tells her, don't drink wine for 30 days. Well, he tells her, don't drink wine for 5 years. She goes and gets married, has a bunch of kids, and then drinks wine. Turns out their mom's harem. So are you saying that you can't make any get with a Tanai? So what's Rabbi Akiva's answer to that? I forgot about that. And also, why doesn't he just say simply, if she goes and marries Plony and has kids, they'll be Mamzerim? I mean, why doesn't he say that? I don't know. Why doesn't he say their kids will be Mamzerim? What's bothering him? Why does he just say simple? I mean, if it's bothering him that someone is, why isn't that a better, that's like a more direct question.
Then they come into the world Mamzerim. Maybe his issue is converting a kosher Jew to a Mamzerim, no?
Thought he was a kosher Jew. So, yeah.
Just say that he's holding that you can't make any tonight.
No, I'm not possible.
Nobody holds that way?
Nobody holds that way. So let's just work backwards for a minute. So the Gemara finally works out that he's learning Almanas, right? This question has to be Almanas. Because if it was Chutz, the Banim would not be Bamzerim. Because then she would not be Aser to the Ploni once she marries Eichad Venushuk. So let's just review. What was the Machlokas if you learned Almanas? So the Gemara says, Shri Rabbi Eliezer, Matir Lakol, yeah. So he says, Rabbi Eliezer, Mati Lakol, Adam, Chutz Mi Oso Aish. Okay. My time is Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara on top of Pei Beis on the basis. What's the reason for Rabbi Eliezer if you hold Almanas? Mi di Davi Akol Tanai Da Alma. He says, it's no different than any Tanai. Rabbanon, Kol Tanai Da Alma, Lo Shire Le Beget. Hocha Shire Le Beget. And Rabbanan say, no, this is not like any Tanai in the world. Any Tanai in the world is not Shire Beget. What does that mean? Doesn't leave over anything in the get. Here it's Shire Beget. Rashi Kev under Asni Bahado Shiloli Nase Lezeh. Since he made a condition she can't marry this one. Nimtza Shlohi Tira Get L'chol Adam. The get didn't matir her to everybody. So, I mean, Is that what bothers Rabbi Akiva? That's what I'm saying. What bothers Rabbi Akiva over here? It can't be just that there's some condition that can turn Bunim into Mamzerim. Because that everybody agrees you can have a condition. And it can't be that bothers him is that someone's being left out of the get. Then he should have just asked my question. And my question's not going to help because that's just their machlokas. I mean, what is this some strange combination of a Tanai on the one, on the Tanai that is Shire Beget, but he's not asking a question that how can you have Shire Beget? He's asking, if you have Shire Beget like this, it's going to be an impossibility in Croesus, because it'll be Croesus that's maybe Lid Ipsil. It's very hard. Who cares? It's just like any other Tanai. As the original argument is that Rabbi Eliezer says, just like the Pirchot Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer says, this Tanai not to marry Plony is no different than not to drink wine for 5 years. And it's midi dehavi akol Tanai d'alma. Right? It's just like any Tanai. And the Rabbanon say, no, it's different because it's Shire Beget. Leave someone out of the operation of the get. The get should be Matir to call Adam, and this one is failing in that. Because of the Tanai, but that doesn't matter. We don't look at the cause. The bottom line is the get didn't operate properly, fully. Now Rabbi Akiva's argument is some strange combination. He's saying somehow, he's not just saying it's a problem because it's Shire Beget, because Rabbi Eliezer doesn't think so. He says, no, intrinsically it's not. Intrinsically it's just a Tanai. It's extraneous to the get, right? So somehow Rabbi Akiva is saying that some reason, if I show you that the one that's being left out of the get is itself the trigger for the Mamzerus, that's a better question than either one on its own. I'm going to combine the two factors. I'm going to combine something turning the Bunim into the Mamzerim, which itself is not a good question, drinking wine, and some guy being left out of the get, which itself is also not a good question, because that's just, he just doesn't care about that. He just doesn't think that that's considered being left out of a get. But if that guy that we consider being left out of the get is the cause of the mamzerus, now I've got you. What does that mean? Right. And that combines into one argument of lo havi ein zeh krisus hamur b'torah shelo omra torah krisus. Oops, wrong one. Lo omra torah krisus hamevi es yisrael li de psal.
That seems like his argument. So no, it's like the krisus that's maybe.
Right.
And when it's called an idolatry, then it's just like some random extraneous factor.
Mm-hmm. But can I get back to my? I'm sorry.
Okay.
Because no. Because now I remember my question better. Now, is what does he mean? It's a krisus that's mevi lidei psul. Where is it mevi lidei psul? When she violates it, right? When she violates the tanai. So then, why don't you just ask simply the simple question? If she marries that guy and has children, that'll also be a krisus that's maybe lidei psul.
Right.
Why is it a better question when it makes other kids mamzerim? I just wanted to strengthen my question a little bit. In other words, because how does this krisus maybe lidei psul? Because the guy that she's not allowed to marry, because she married the guy she's not allowed to marry. So why don't you just say, notice he gives her a get and he says, you can marry these and not this. So he's saying, when she marries the one she's not allowed to, it turns out the get that he gave her brought psul into the world. So why don't you just talk about the kids that come from that marriage?
Can't you say that's a step removed?
So then the whole thing is extraneous.
That's not the get bringing the kids to the psul, that's her bringing them to the psul.
Well, then it's always her. Well, then it's arguing,
well,
it has no argument.
It's like the Dorian thing, like she didn't cause it.
Yeah.
People get married.
Yeah, I can only give you a sense of what I think it's talking about over here. And that is like this. I mean, you have to go back to the original way we defined the machlokas. Okay? And that was that, according to the Rabbanon, why don't they say it's midi to have you a kol tanai d'alma? Why don't they say midi to have you a kol tanai d'alma? So they say it's shayer le beget. Right? Because this get is not letting her marry one guy, not because it's a chutz, not because the get doesn't apply in theory to everybody. It does, like the Rashi will explain, Ritva, I remember we were learning with it, Rashi probably, that when the get is given, she is a penuya to everybody. The only thing is, there's something that can retract, that can be mevatlet. Just like we said, if I give you a matan al manas lahachzir, it's 100% yours when you have it, with no obligations to anybody. Because that's what full ownership means. You don't have to do anything with it. The only thing is, if you never give it back to me, it'll turn out it was never yours at that time. So, but that doesn't mean that because you have to give it back, that's just part of the condition. That's not part of the etzem of the tefisa on it. You have a full tefisa's baal. The only thing is, in order to get that full tefisa's baal, you have to fulfill a condition. What's the difference if the condition is to drink a cup of wine or not drink a cup of wine, or to give it back to me at some point? We don't consider, even though the condition is in the same framework as the deal, we don't say that necessarily means that the deal itself is being the nature of the transaction is being altered. So that's Rabbi Eliezer's argument, that since she's an Ashes, since when I give her the get, she's not an Ashes Ish to anybody, even to the Ploni. But if she marries Ploni, it'll be Mavatal the get. That doesn't matter if she marries Ploni. It still means that the get was absolute. The get was legabi everybody. There was nobody that I said this get is not working for. It's working for everybody. Just turns out there's one guy that if you marry him, it will be up. It'll be a bit lamafrey of what I gave you. Okay, that's Rabbi Lazer's argument. So the Rabbanan say that doesn't help over here. Why? So we said, we gave a bit of an analogy, like by Anus or Chalizer. But whatever, we said like this, because they're looking at it, they're saying that the Krisus has to be that it takes her from the Isser that was imposed on her by the Baal and creates heter to everybody. So in this case, practically speaking, she still has, it doesn't matter that you'll say when she gets the get, she's not defined as an Ashes Ish vis-a-vis another guy. But Lamaisa, the Baal is still, the Baal never gave her the release of a heter to marry everybody. Because to marry one guy will intrinsically remove the get. So they don't care that it takes, that it transforms from an actual Isser Ashes Ish into a trigger of an Isser. It still means, practically speaking, she remained unchanged vis-a-vis one guy in what she can and cannot do. She remained unchanged vis-a-vis one guy. Okay, and Rabbi Eliezer says, I don't care if she remained unchanged if the halachic definition changed. So she was an Ashes Ish vis-a-vis everybody. Now she's an Ashes Ish vis-a-vis nobody. Practically speaking, she can't marry one guy because it'll remove the shame of Migureshes. But that's mitzad acher. That's not like a chutz. Chutz means the get itself doesn't mati you. You're still an Ashes Ish. That would be no good, right? And the Rabbanan say, that's academics. The Ikar of Get is Krisus. The Ikar of Get is that she should practically be released from the... that her Tashmish, her Isser Tashmish should be released by the Baal and should be back in her own hands. So now, for whatever reason, she can't be express a Heter Tashmish to Ploni. That itself is a Shiur Beget. I don't care that you're giving it a different address. Right? So Rabbi Akiva's argument is like this. He says, Rabbi Eliezer, I hear that you don't want to say that the condition becomes a Shiur Beget itself and turns the get into not fully valid, not fully operational. I agree, I hear that you don't want to say that the get will not be considered complete. Okay, so let's say you're right. It will leave nobody out. But the fact that she still remains under an Isser, even Mitzad Acher, still becomes part of the character of the type of Heter Tashmish that she was given. It won't be that the get is no good. It won't be that we won't go so far as the Rabbanan, who say now in terms of Ishus, she's considered unchanged vis-a-vis somebody because the Isser Tashmish was the Ikar of the Ishus. And in terms of Isser, she remained. And once she remained, we don't care that it's a different cause. It's still like the Rashba said. It still is machmaso, if you remember the Rashba. He says, she still is Usser because of the husband. I don't care, you want to call it. It turned into a conditional thing. Bottom line is, Isser Ishus is from him, and now she's still tied, still expresses an Isser Ishus because of him. That doesn't matter that you change the flavor. It's still considered a Shiur Beget. So Rabbi Akiva is saying to Rabbi Eliezer, it's true you don't want to consider it unchanged, and you don't want to say that the get itself intrinsically is lacking, but you should at least admit that it turns it into a certain kind of a Heter Tashmish. The practicality of it still gives the heter that he gave back to her. It's true that we won't say that he didn't give her back a heter vis-a-vis Ashes Ish, but it does have a quality to it of maybe lidei psul. It's not strong enough to say that she remains be'isser Ashes Ish legabi ploni, So it's converted into a different, because that Isser Legabi Ploni is different. But since it still is in the realm of the Isser and the Heter of the Asha of Tashmish that he gave to her, so then it turns out he gave her a Heter Tashmish that has a certain other character. It doesn't still have the character of the original Eishes Ish, so therefore it's not Shir Beget, but it does take on a different character. And that is the Ikar of Krisus, the character of the Heter Ishis, of the Heter Tashmish that he gives her. So now he gave her a Heter Tashmish that has another character that, okay, it won't mean that it was a Shir Beget, but it'll be a certain kind of a Heter Tashmish that's maybe the Deipsol. And that's not like Al Tishti Yayin, because Al Tishti Yayin does not convert and merge into the character of the Heter Tashmish he gave her. The Heter Tashmish, we have to judge the Heter Tashmish from the Isser and Heter Tashmish itself. So it's true the Isser Tashmish here doesn't make it into a Shir Beget, but since it is an Isser in the Tashmish, that will be Nitfas in the type of Krisus Tashmish he gave her. And it comes out, he gave her a certain kind of a Krisus of Isser Tashmish that is Mivi Lidepsol. And Rabbi Eliezer still says, nope, I still consider it even one step further. I don't think that it merges at all. In other words, so there's three levels I'm trying to say is. The Rabbanan say the merge is complete and therefore there's no change vis-a-vis Ploni in terms of the original Ishus, and it's just absolute Shir Beget. Rabbi Akiva's argument is that at least it should be considered a new form of Krisus. Even though the Isser is Mitzad Acher, since it's in the subject matter of the get, it should say now we should give it a quality of a certain type of a Krisus that has the reality of what this Isser Tashmish does. And that will turn all of her Heter into Isser, Lemafreya. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, as long as it's a condition, it always is considered absolutely external, and it never merges even one iota, and it's no different at all than Al Tishti Yayin. But there are three logical positions, what I'm trying to say is. Rabbanon and Rabbi Eliezer, according to the Pircha, are expressing extremes, that it's like nothing happened to her vis-a-vis Ploni, or that the condition, no matter what its character, is always external to her shame heter of Krisus. And Rabbi Akiva is saying there's a middle idea that even if you didn't, and it's good sense according to Tosfos, he's saying even though you don't want a darshan, oh well, this is svar, this one is just svar. So he's saying there's a svar to say that even though you don't want to go that far, but there's a svar to say that it would be a problem even if you didn't go so far as to say it was an actual Shir Beget. Say it's this kind of a Heter Tashmish. And when we talk about what the Heter Tashmish is, you have to talk about the full type of Heter he gave her. So with that's within the realm of what the Heter Tashmish is. That's within the realm of, so you'll say, yeah, in terms of Ploni, she has a Heter Tashmish in terms of Eishes Ish, but she has this Isser Tashmish, so that's part of the very identity of the Krisus of the Isser Ishes that he gave her. And he's saying, no, it still is always extraneous.
And what about the Mamzerim after the marriage?
No, the Mamzerim after the marriage is not his question, because his question is on the very, that's no different than saying, because his essence is to say, let's look at the package of Isser and Heter that he gave her. So I'll show you that the Heter he gave her also has, it's all tied together. He wants to show that it's not that the Mamzeris that stems from that guy is just a question of saying, well, that's just a Shir Beget. But I don't care about Shir Beget. That's Rabbi Leiz doesn't care that one guy is left out. Right? He has to show him, no, that's not that he's being left out. That's not my argument. My argument is that it merges into what the very Heter he gave her is. And that's expressed by when she uses the Heter, and then it'll turn into Mivi Lideipsol. So the very Heter that he gave her is a Heter of Mivi Lideipsol. And even though that Heter was absolute in terms of Ishus, it's not absolute in terms of Mivi Lideipsol. So you should at least consider it a full krisis from the Baal, I'll give you that much, but what type of a full krisis is it? It's mivili deipsul. And Rabbi Eliezer still says, no, it's a full, that psul is never merges. You don't merge, you don't, just because they have the same kind of an iser, that doesn't mean they merge into one concept of the krisis. It's a little sticky at the end, but that's your intuitive, that's what you're...
It's like the result of the get being mivili deipsul.
Right, exactly. Right.
But the very nature of the iser, that's right.
That's right.
That's his argument.
That's his argument. And then the last kal v'chomer, whatever.